Now we go on, and I come back to verse 2, which I mentioned before, and we read it again. Beloved, again, John evidently thought a great deal of him. John was very close to him. John says to him, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, very frankly, he makes it very clear that he wants him to prosper, not only financially, not only materially, and this man apparently was a man of means, but he says, I want you to prosper in your health. Apparently, he was not a well man. And that you might prosper also in his soul, that he might grow spiritually, you see. There are a lot of Christians today that they are actually sick spiritually, but they've got good health physically, but they have pretty bad health spiritually. And it's certainly well for a child of God to have both. Good health physically is wonderful to have, and many of us didn't appreciate it until we lost it. But good health spiritually. By the way, we called attention to this back in 1 Peter, that what health is to the body, holiness is to the spiritual life of the believer. Healthy, spiritually. That is holiness. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. And so the graciousness of Gaius and his walk in the truth. And many of these traveling evangelists and missionaries of that day reported to John. They said, My, I tell you, when you go to the church where Gaius is one of the leaders in the church, very wonderful man. He's not only a man of means, but very generous man. I was entertained in his home. Now, you see, in that day, they didn't put him in a Howard Johnson or a Ramada Inn because there wasn't any. Now, I believe if there'd been one, that's where they would have put them. But the custom in that day was when a man came to town, generally the little inn was a flea-bitten place, dirty, and many times a very sinful place. And some of our motels and hotels have become that way today, as you well know. Now he says here in verse 3, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now, this is very important to see here. The truth actually is the doctrine and the teaching of the apostles. And the word thee here, in many places, it's not included. In some places, it's included where it ought not to be, and it should be just truth here, which walkest in truth, which refers not only to doctrine, but also to his conduct. You see, the mark of the believer was, in that day, truth which was dominant. That was the summum bonum of a Christian, whether he's walking in the truth or not, or walking in the light. That was all important. As we said in the first epistle, it wasn't how you walked, it's where you walk that's important. Are you walking in the truth? Now, walking in the truth also means walking in the right conduct or walking in love. And that means love of the brethren. So that the brethren were coming, those that were out and had a teaching ministry in the early church, they would come into Gaius's town and to his church, and his home was wide open to those true brethren of the faith, and he had a spiritual discernment that he could tell who was the genuine and who were not. Well, after all you had to do is to make sure about their relationship to the person of Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ is the test. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. You must think rightly of him in order to be right in everything else. And these brethren were saying, Brother Gaius over there, he tested us out. He found out whether we believe in the deity of Christ He found out whether we believed in the virgin birth, whether Christ died a redemptive death upon the cross, whether he was raised bodily from the grave. And when he found out we did believe those things, then he opened his home and received us and discovered whether we had love for the brethren or not. And then his heart was opened to us. What a marvelous testimony Gaius had.